hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, rolling into the 4 o'clock hour, Cofield and Company. You can watch us live right now on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas, ESPN Las Vegas Facebook as well. Salerno, Cofield. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 766-1400. The call from the number to call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, 766-1400. Offices in Reno, downtown Vegas, Henderson, and Summerlin. So we need a little more flavor of the islands here. Get some more of the 911 on what's going on in Honolulu as we get ready. Greg Salerno for the UNLV Hawaii game tomorrow. We bring in a recent grad of UNLV, coaching high school football, a former offensive lineman for the Rebels, Nate Oishi, is up with Cofield and Greg Salerno. What's up, buddy?
How we doing? Appreciate you guys having me on.
We're good. We're good. Again, for people who are not keeping up on high school football, you've got quite the operation as you're coaching football, and you got a bunch of the Rebels on the staff, right? So tell people where you're coaching, how you did, and what's happening.
Yeah, so last year we were at Lake Mead Christian Academy. We won the 2A state championship, and then this year we're at a new charter school program called Pinecrest Academy, Sloan Canyon. We got about 10 former Rebels with us, including, you know, Charles Williams, Gabe McCoy, J.D. Alexander, Mike Hughes, Darren Palmer, Justin Polu, Sid Acosta, Jackson Reynolds, Christian Clapp. So we got, you know, it's an all-Rebel staff, and we're enjoying giving back to the Vegas community.
And this is a story where, you know, you're not at a school with 2,000 students, so to put together a football team is not as easy as some of the big schools.
Yeah, yeah. Last year at, you know, at Lake Mead, we had 60 kids on the team, and there was only 110 boys in the high school. So
we definitely
try to get the kids to love the sport that helped us so much and that we love.
Nate, can you talk about how important it is? Because a lot of the kids, you know, most of the kids you're coaching aren't going to go to play college football, and if they do, they might have to walk on, but We don't talk about the role of the walk-on, you know, especially in prepping and scout squads. This Rebel team especially now looks like it's just about up to full numbers, so now they can, you know, do the spotting of four different units. But talk about the role of the walk-on, because there's so many key walk-ons really in every program to help get the big guys ready for the games.
Yeah, it's huge to the operation. There's only 80-something scholarships in Division One, and just having good quality walk-ons, guys that care about UNLV, guys that care about football and love football. A lot of the times walk-ons just love football and they want to be a part of it and they want to own their role. So having guys on that team is huge because, you know, if you're running a good operation, scout offense, scout defense, special teams, those are guys that are going to own their role, even if it's a small role, and do the best of their ability. And that it's all a part of, you know, everyone doing their 1 in the 11th on the team.
Nate, I wanted to ask about the travel for UNLV. Obviously, traveling to Hawaii, and I like to look at like what the other side thinks about the game. And Hawaii, one of the things they touted on there was that they're 13-3 at home versus UNLV, the last ones. But does that matter, considering UNLV is a different team now, or do you think the travel is part of that?
I would say it doesn't matter a whole lot. It's the only game for a West Coast team where you're going, you know, the time changes in terms of you're going backwards. But it's only 2 hours. Coach Odom does a great job with the operation. They came in a couple of days early. You know, the weather's nice out here. So it's a little bit more humid. It might rain spot up like for 10 minutes and then stop raining. But other than that, as long as, you know, you focus on the game and not everything going around in Hawaii and being in a, you know, it's almost like a different country. But I don't think it'll matter too much.
Though the travel can be complicated if the team doesn't handle it in mature fashion, right?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of kids from the mainland haven't even come close to Hawaii, so just being on an island with beaches and everything, it's a cool experience. And I'm glad that, you know, when we came to Hawaii when I was playing, I had a lot of teammates experience that, teammates from Texas and so forth that would have never dreamed to be in Hawaii. So it's cool to enjoy, but we got to keep the main thing the main thing.
Nate Oishi is with us. He's a Honolulu guy, played his high school football here, played for UNLV a few years back, and is now coaching high school football, helping us break down the Hawaii and UNLV game. How often do you get to come home, and what do you miss about being home?
I try to come home on Christmas breaks and a little bit in the summer, especially if Hawaii's playing UNLV, I got to come home for that one. That's a big game. And I enjoy being home. My parents are still here. My sister's here. So I enjoy coming back and seeing my family. I miss a lot of the food spots. But, you know, Vegas has just as good Hawaiian food as locally owned Hawaiian spots in Vegas, too. So that, really? That always helps.
All right. You're gonna have to text me some of the local spots. I need a dinner spot for tonight because the rest of my my travel group with the broadcasters wants to go up on the beach here in Waikiki. And I'm like, you got to go local, man. You got to go local, right?
No, yeah, there's great hole-in-the-wall spots out here in Hawaii that you have to check out and support them.
Can you talk about the stadium here? Because obviously, things have changed without Aloha Stadium. That's another one of the unique things about getting ready for a game here, because you're walking into a converted track facility.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Allegiant Stadium. I got to grow up with Aloha Stadium, going to those games, and I'm excited to see where. What stadium they replaced that with, but it is different. It's you're not going to have the same locker room at Allegiant. The fans are a lot closer. But I think in time they will need a different stadium now with recruiting and everything. It's tough to show a kid Allegiant and then show a kid the current stadium, but I know that the state plans to, get a new stadium coming soon.
I saw this there on – this is another thing on their local Hawaii side. It was this Island Showdown trophy that UNLV, I guess, has possession of because they won last time 44-20. Is that something UNLV even cares about? Is that a big thing out there? Do people talk about that?
Yeah, I'd say the locals especially, there's a lot of people in Hawaii that live in Vegas. That's why it's called the Ninth Island. You know, every game – every Mountain West game is a battle, and every Mountain West game, they're going to give their best. But yeah, the pineapple trophy by the Cal Hotel. If you go to the California Hotel, you always see locals from Hawaii over there, either on vacation or hanging out. It's a big pride thing. A lot of a lot of families move to Vegas and move their homes, so they're cheering for UNLV now, and it's a big pride thing. You know, cousins are cheering for Hawaii. We're cheering for UNLV.
Well, luckily, this year especially, the game is getting widespread TV exposure. It's on CBS Sports now because a lot of years it's actually on Spectrum, which is hard to get. And just for folks who – you mentioned the Cal, the sponsor, and Boyd, the sponsor of the Pineapple Trophy. Circuit did a really good job of hooking up Spectrum, so they have all the Hawaii games. You don't need it for this one, but it'll be on CBS Sports National. Nate Oishi's with us. All right, let's talk Rebel football. First of all, what are you more impressed by this year, the defense or the offense?
Both have been dominant, and it's been fun to watch, just the whole operation dominating every game as an alumni for me. The one thing that stuck out to me is the special teams. I feel like the special teams is playing at an elite level, and they're flipping the field, they're making big plays, and that's the stuff that goes unnoticed. So, like, the little things, the special teams play, the offensive line play, the defensive line play, the unnoticed things, they're checking every box over there.
Yep. Yeah, they came in. They hired a big-name special teams coordinator in James Shebest, and they talked about all these benefits of special teams, and then you see it play out the first, one and two-thirds of the seasons that Odom has worked. They will have an injury issue potentially tomorrow. We'll see if Jacob DeJesus is back at 100% because Jacob was hurt in the last game, had the bye week. I wanted to talk about the offensive line, the position you played, because, over the years, the O-line has gotten bigger. There's really good continuity with this group, and I got to tell you, the freshman class that's in right now, I think actually a couple of them maybe could have played a few years ago. A lot more size than UNLV's ever had in the O-line. Vance Weiss is doing a good job.
Yeah, absolutely. They're violent. They're physical. It starts up front. The trenches set the tone and the culture for the team, and they're detail-oriented. They get the job done. They work as a unit. They're violent. They're big, like you said. And, both we've had two different quarterbacks this year, and they've protected both of them well. We've rushed for a lot this year. So the O-line is definitely changing the culture over there, and it's fun to watch.
Speaking of the quarterbacks, both I think were brought in to be able to potentially run the triple option, get the edge. From what you've watched, how do you think the go-go works best? With a guy like Jaden Maiava from last year, who could run a little bit, really as a pocket quarterback, or the guys who can get the edge, who are pretty good throwers, but even better runners?
I think it works best with the runner. It's hard to defend the go-go when you're worried about the running backs and now the quarterback. I think we're seeing it this year with Hodge. It seems to me like a more explosive offense than last year. And Hodge is doing a great job making the right decisions, making good throws, and he's also running on, you know, which is a nightmare for a defensive coordinator. Now you got to worry about two running backs and the quarterback, so essentially three runners with the guys like Ricky White at receiver.
All right, Nate, most important question of this conversation. Nate Oishi is with us, former UNLV offensive lineman. You mentioned, you teased it earlier about the snitches on the local joints. You got a place for us that the broadcast crew needs to go? Where do we go?
Yeah, for dinner, a couple spots that I would like to recommend is the Alley. It's in a bowling alley in Iaia Bowl. And it's really good. Tasty chicken. It's a type of garlic chicken. Really good food spot. Diners, drive-ins went there. But, yeah, it's in a bowling alley, and it's a sit-down restaurant in a bowling alley. You wouldn't expect it, but it's great food. And then Side Street Inn, another sports bar, hole-in-the-wall type place. Great food as well.
Love it. Yeah, that's my favorite thing about coming to Honolulu is just getting off the beach, and there's so many cool local places. Back-to-back trips, I hit a place called Fat Eight, which is, when you walk in, you're like, what the hell is going on here? And then the food's great. So a lot of the bars just have great food. They don't look like they're going to be fancy places, and the person in the back cooking really knows what they're doing.
Yeah. There's a ton of hole-in-the-wall places out here, and, you know, just locally family-owned places that generations of recipes.
Nate, we appreciate you coming on. I'll see you at the game tomorrow, okay?
I appreciate you guys. Go Rebels.
There he is, Nate Oishi. Am I making you hungry? I know they've got Taco Moco, and they've got two kinds. They got the Cajun one at Treasure Island, but every once in a while you got to get out to Hawaii, Greg. I think this the sun, the beach, I feel like it's a good match.
Everybody tells
for you.
Me.
Is that what I said?
Everybody
right?
says I wouldn't want to leave.
You know, I would love to see you in board shorts.
Yeah.
That sounded kind of creepy.
Dude, with my shirt off, I'm telling you, man, I'm a looker.
I'm a looker. I actually have not gone in the water. I need to go maybe tonight or tomorrow morning.
Do you go, like, topless?
Well, we talked about this before with the swim shirt.
Yeah, I know. You don't wear that, though, right? Well, you're telling me to wear one, but I didn't know you wore one.
I don't have one here.
Oh.
So I might have to go buy some new swim gear.
I think I'll need a wetsuit.
Hold it all in.
I look like Venom.
Put on the freaking wetsuit. Let me tell you, this stadium they play in is incredible because it really is a track facility that they've expanded to about 17,000 seats. So it's like a small, well, I guess it would be a big high school stadium. But they also, right. they line, and it's still the track because it's a converted track facility. They line the track on the one end with like 17 food trucks. So the entire game, you're like, oh, my God.
This is amazing. Dude, I want it.
Really, Hawaii is a cool place. I'm glad that across the board now, because there were only football in the Mountain West Conference. Now across the board, probably in a couple of years, maybe next year, they're going to have all sports playing, which will be quite a challenge in the Mountain West Conference. It's good for the Mountain West Conference. It's good for continuity. It's probably good for the money situation, we think, with Hawaii. All right, on the way back, we got to go back to more NFL and – telling you, here we go. Colorado winning. Shedeur Sanders. Raiders stink. Shedeur mania. We're on the cusp.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company. On ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. As Greg Salerno's hanging out there at Cofield here in Hawaii and Honolulu, getting ready for UNLV football against the Rainbow Warriors. We'll bring in one of the experts who's on the TV side of Hawaii football, Kanoa Leahy. He'll be up in about 40 minutes. Ton going on around the sports world. College football weekend, another eliminator weekend. NFL, we got to get to what's going on with the Raiders. Griffin, you think you found the follow-up to Adam Schefter stealing Amazon Thursday Night Football last week. Now he's trying to scramble and make up for it before he gets charged with pirating?
Yeah, basically, the timeline there, he posts that video with the illegal streaming sites logo in the top corner.
Yes, he did.
And then he comes out and he says, I did not use an illegal streaming site. I believe his excuse was that he reposted a video that was sent to him. And then he comes out and says, why would I go cheap and not pay for the Amazon account when my wife pays or averages $8.99 a minute on Amazon Prime? And then so finally, for the football game yesterday against Ravens and Bengals, he tweets out a video caption of the game, and he says, he tweets out, man, what a great, something like, what a great game. Love watching Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime, tagging them. So the man is just trying to cover his tracks, and he just looks more guilty than ever.
Greg, seems like a lot of effort.
Yeah, it's really annoying, honestly. Like, who cares about Jeff Bezos? Seriously. Oh, no.
Well, that's what we were asking.
Poor?
Yeah, we were. I'm
stupid
sorry.
Oligarch, piece of crap. Who cares?
That's what we were asking last week. Is Adam Schefter a bum or a hero?
He's kind of a hero, in my opinion. I mean, you know, I burn it down. Who cares?
Depends on how broke you are. Depends how much money you got.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Adam Schefter, on all seriousness, I'm goofing around, but Adam Schefter, honestly, obviously has Amazon Prime. I mean, what is it, $9 a month? I mean, of course he has it, so he probably didn't do it on purpose. I don't know why he would be watching, you know, streams named after meth and stuff. So I don't think that that's what he was doing, but I believe him when he says he posted it on accident, because I don't. Everybody has Amazon. I have Amazon. I'm poor. Like, I mean, everybody has Amazon.
That's why it didn't make any sense last week that he'd be stealing. Like, you got to have someone in the family who can't resist the Bezos Mart and shops, and
yeah.
you get the TV package with it.
Plus, I think most people see this as the woe's me billionaire crap that, you know, who cares? Nobody cares. Nobody's going to be sad for you. My last name's on Amazon.
I'm kind of on both sides of this. I think there's some heroism here by Schefter. But it's also Schefter, so I hope he gets charged. I hope the book gets thrown at him.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, if you really follow him, you're like, okay, this guy's a little bit strange.
He's a weird dude.
Speaking of another, I'm going to jump around in the rundown today. Speaking of another dude who's, I don't know if Schefter is a big star. I think he's a bigger star, actually, on social media. Another big star, their biggest star, Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
I saw a conversation where he was broaching, and he got asked the question, broaching the topic of running for president. And then, and I was like, I'm not watching this. This is absurd. But then Griffin follows it up with another story with Stephen A. Smith. I guess Stephen A. went after Jimmy Kimmel, who cries often, and you know, most of the time it's politically aligned. And
yeah.
He
cries about everything, though.
He does. I actually, you know what's funny? I thought it was funny. I lightheartedly, maybe my delivery blows, but I lightheartedly, I think it was like 3 years ago, asked Cousin Sal, whoever that is. He's trying to do some sports. It hasn't, I mean, he's made money, so but his show, his gambling show got dumped. Now he's doing a podcast. I tried to ask him about Jimmy, and you know, Jimmy's a Vegas guy, a UNLV guy, so we love Jimmy. But Jimmy getting verklempt all the time, and he got like all insulted.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, okay, banned from the.
Because I've heard people bring it up to Jimmy before, and he defends himself. But
well, I'm guessing that this was the end of a long radio tour at Super Bowl. Why multiple stations had on Cousin Sal, I have no idea. I did it as a favor to the booker who I'm friends with, but that won't happen again after he was a freaking nuts to me.
Was this at Radio Row when we were at the Super Bowl?
You know what's funny is he did it, but he did it by phone. He wasn't even on Radio Row.
Oh,
so why
okay.
I agreed to do it, I have no idea. I hope he's walking around Radio Row this time around.
I got a quick question for you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are both older. You've been watching Jimmy Kimmel longer.
Thanks.
Jimmy Kimmel, when he was a chubbier guy, he's lost weight. He looks very Hollywood these days. But back when he was a little chubbier earlier in his career, was he as political? Was he more funny, not so much crying every night when a president gets elected? Like, how was this back in the day?
He did. I mean, he even joked about it. I think he did like a 20-minute thing last week before the election with a bunch of, you know, Trump sound bites. And he even joked like, hey, it's me. Remember me from the Man Show? Like, that obviously, you know, that wasn't the material back then because he was trying to – you know, be around beer and boobs, so that wasn't part of the thing. But now he's on late night TV. I do have to make one statement. It's funny. I saw It might have been on Steve Kim's thread. I think he retweeted someone talking about Colbert, who came from the political satire world, and Kimmel, and they were saying something, and someone retweeted it and said, you know, this is why late night talk shows are failing. Carson never did this. And I'm here to tell you that if you go back and watch Johnny Carson, just because you were stupid or young and you didn't understand what he was talking about, he talked politics. Like, I was kind of blown away watching, especially right. the 80s when he got older, because people sure. tend to have more thoughts along those lines as their life is coming to an end, you know, good or bad. Carson talked about politics all the time. He talked about Reagan. It was like every night in the monologue. So people forget things as they get older, or they, you know, they were like 20 somethings or teens and they didn't process it at the time.
Well, I think it's also the stakes have changed. It's not the same thing. I mean, this isn't like, you know, just one guy versus another guy. Like, oh, my guy didn't win. I mean, there's a huge swath of the population that's very scared right now that they're in serious danger. So, I mean, I think it's a little bit different than just a regular election.
I'm not in serious danger, but I'm very scared right now about, and I knew this was coming, about quarterbacks coming out of college. And there's going to be so many stories, especially if they keep winning and he excels. If Colorado continues to win, one, Deion's going to have some options, I think, incorrectly. But Shador is going to blow up massively.
I think that this is almost a good thing if the Raiders are able to swing. I mean, let's put it this way. I think it's horrible to have a LeVar Ball type and probably even worse type guy, you know, in your situation, because Deion has more power and is more into things. At the same time, how hilarious would it be to watch it? I mean, watch this unfold in Vegas if they somehow are able to get Shador some way just to watch it. You know, I mean, because they would make the team better probably, but there would also be just so much drama. I mean, it's good for us, I guess.
Do you think Mark Davis gives Deion a job like Minister of Fun for millions?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I would ask you this, though. Do you think that Tom Brady being involved makes it less or likely or more likely they were to go after a guy like
Shador? I have no idea. I keep reading Vinny B over on Raider Nation Radio said that Brady's been somewhat of a mentor to Shador.
Really? Oh, see, okay. Well, that's interesting then. Because I figured he would be more like by the book and, you know, all this stuff and just wouldn't want a guy like Deion around that's going to maybe say things that they don't want or, you know, whatever, stuff like that. Because he's such a quiet – he's more like a Jeter type, you know, Brady is, as far as media stuff. So I just felt like that maybe he wouldn't be down with that. But
well, if that's one of his first decisions, if he does have decision-making power,
yeah,
a little risky.
I think so too, but, again, it's fun for us.
No, it's going to be a great topic. It's going to be dynamite. And Vinny's story basically was that he believes that Shador and his abilities on the Raiders are a match made in heaven.
Why? I mean, were there specifics or?
There was one paragraph on his skills.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't believe that he's a top five guy at the position in the draft.
Kind of the last. It's tough. It's kind of the last thing the Raiders need, right? Like a big name, but not necessarily the skills going to be all there yet because he's going to be a rookie. It's just more distractions, it comes off to me.
Or is it the biggest thing they need because this is a superstar who might bring Las Vegas out and more Raiders fans to the stadium? There'll be a frenzy so they can actually turn it into a home field advantage.
That's the best case scenario for sure. I think worst case scenario, you know, Shador has the typical rookie struggles that a rookie has in the NFL. You know, everyone's getting on him even more now because of the fact that he's Deion's kid, the fact that he's such a big star right now in college football. I just see that it could get bad. It could go bad pretty quickly.
So I think Vinny's accurate, and it's a match made in heaven if you expect wildness, lunacy, and dysfunction around the Raiders.
Yeah, well, it's also a business. I mean, like you
that
just too. Said.
That's why. That's why I brought up. Like right now, Las Vegas is not into the Raiders. Most of the people don't show up. If they bought tickets, the PSL owners who bought them for $35K and $75K a ticket or a seat, and some beyond that, they're going to show up now. Yeah. And maybe they sell a couple of games to make up the rest of the season with six or seven games they have to pay for. But I mean, from a business standpoint, it would be massive.
It's like when the Lakers, you know, people are all mad about Bronny. Like, you give him a $7 million contract. I'm like, dude, they probably made $40 million off of it the first day they announced that he was going to be on the team. I mean, it's a business. Who cares?
So then how seriously do we take the Raiders moving forward if business outweighs winning on the field?
Well, it's weird because last offseason, you could say they didn't have an opportunity, but I feel like they did to try to get a better quarterback or to shore it up some way, and they weren't willing to make that sacrifice then. So will they now? I don't know.
Coming back, we'll continue naming the other quarterbacks because Vinny did do a good job in his Review Journal story. Of course, you can hear Vinny on Raider Nation Radio 920 each morning, Monday to Friday from 7 to 10. But he lined up some other quarterbacks who I all think are better prospects than Shedeur Sanders.
Pan Signore.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Greg, I'm buying souvenirs while I'm here. What do you want? Something with macadamia nuts?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Hey, what is a poo-poo platter? I meant to ask you that earlier, and I always hear about it, and I never knew what the food actually is.
I think it can be mixed. Like the restaurant I went to last night, the poo-poo included, like, not a platter, but listed under poo-poo was like 15 different items. So I think it's basically it's the original sampler.
Oh, so it's like a sampler platter is poo-poo?
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I see. Okay.
I don't think it's
I mean, it's not. I know what you're saying, but like poo-poo means sampler. Yeah, yes. I get it.
But you know what? I'll look it up for you before the end of the show. What are the most common, say, like three or four items on a poo-poo platter?
Yeah, because I was just like wondering if it's meat or.
So I was talking about the Shedeur Mania and the RJ starting to get things going. Vinny B over on Vinny Bonsignore, which I don't know what were you doing at the end of that block?
Bonsignore. He's
Paisan. But you got to do it with the hand, right?
Hey!
Look, Griffin's getting into it as well. the other quarterbacks at the top of the draft, potentially. Keep in mind, Shedeur Sanders is listed at 6'2", 215. He's actually one of the smaller guys. I'm not even sure he's 6'2". We'll see when he measures out. Ward, who's about the same size, maybe a little thicker, a little bit older. Carson Beck, who's at Georgia, who's been kind of up and down. But certainly has a rifle of an arm, and he's in a winning program. He's a little bit bigger at 6'4". And then Quinn Ewers, who isn't a giant, kind of probably a little more slightly built than Shedeur Sanders. And I have a feeling there's going to be a fifth or a sixth who rises up to pass some of these guys. So I was told, funny enough, right after the draft last year, there's no quarterbacks in the first round next year. And I said to that person, there will be quarterbacks next year who emerge. I don't care what people have them ranked now, because a lot of times the transfer portal allows a guy an opportunity maybe he didn't play somewhere else to blow up in a new spot. And let me tell you, Cam Ward was kicking the tires on going to the draft, but he had previously played at Incarnate Word and Washington State, and I don't think he got the exposure, which it really shouldn't matter. Exposure should not matter, but it does. And now that he's at Miami and they're unbeaten, now Cam Ward is, you know, rising. Well, he's at the top of the Heisman list, and now he's rising near the top of the potential quarterbacks taken to the first-round list.
I got two thoughts on this. One, when I was growing up, you had to be 6'4", 6'5", to be a quarterback. I mean, that was like kind of the rule. You had to be able to, but the thing was, you couldn't see over the line, you know, stuff. And nowadays, this is not really true. I mean, you know, Drew Brees was barely, not even 6 foot. Vic was small. Lamar right now won an MVP last year. He's small.
Lamar's probably 6'2", 6'2", 6'2½. I think the better example.
You think he's that tall?
Yeah. I think the better example would be Kyler Murray, who might, I feel like every year he gets smaller.
Well, yeah, he's tiny.
He's like 5'6", 200.
Well, I could name a bunch of guys. Jalen Hurts isn't very big. I mean, there's a lot of guys who aren't very tall anymore, who aren't 6'4", 6'5 guys. And that's one thing. Two, even if there isn't a quarterback that's supposed to be in the first round, he's still going to go. It just means that two guys are going to be drafted that shouldn't be drafted in the first round, but they're still going to be drafted. I mean, teams are hungry for quarterbacks. Somebody's going to talk themselves into drafting a quarterback in the first round, no matter what.
I made a terrible bet about 2 weeks into the season about Shedeur Sanders, because what I predicted for Colorado was a rough year, that they would leak oil, that they would really struggle down the stretch, that maybe some bad character would come out of the Colorado program, which would take Shedeur Sanders down. But you've noticed, with them winning, they didn't do what a lot of us expected, which is to gloat and brag. They just kind of kept it quiet, which good move.
Do you think people remember that stuff, like the offseason stuff, the back and forth tweets, the throwing yes. players under the bus? Do you think they do?
Some do, yeah. I mean, yeah. supposedly Spencer Rattler did a high school video coming out when he was a big-time recruit and had some misbehaving moments, and he plummeted in the draft. So, I mean, these guys, it's such an important draft pick. It's such an important position that a lot of it is paralysis by analysis, but they rake you over the friggin' coals. And right now, Colorado's playing well. Shador is playing well. Deion's not saying anything. It's been pretty quiet. It's been all about football.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Kenny White coming up here in just a second. Oasis Bar and Grill does bring you the Eye on Sports Gambling on Decatur, south of Trop, 24/7 kitchen, machines that pay, mostly Unfiltered Jukebox, one of my favorite local bars. Awesome menu, including daily specials. Today's special, they usually go with a seafood theme on Friday nights. They got the shrimp tonight. I got to find what specifically the shrimp is. Oh, look at this. I got to tweet this out. Shrimp stir fry. So a little Asian-themed shrimp tonight. And when I said 24/7, also the breakfast is 24/7. That is very, very important, Greg Salerno. Let's bring in Kenny White here on a Friday. Kenny, how are you, buddy?
Hi, Steve. Doing well. You're making me hungry now. I'm thinking about shrimp.
I know, right? Every time they send me the dinner special, I'm like, God, I got to stop by. But I'm actually on the road in Hawaii, so it's not too bad. Getting ready for UNLV and Hawaii, and a lot of intensity around the Mountain West Conference. A lot of intensity around college football, whether teams are in it or not, because margins matter now for the biggest of the boys. We'll get to some of the massive games on the way. But I wanted to start out. You have some interest in UAB this weekend.
Yeah, I do. And this time of year, you have to look at teams that are bowl eligible. And Connecticut's one of those teams. They won their sixth game last week. So I Googled to see. I thought, it's got to be a long time since they've been to a bowl game. So I Googled it, and it said, no. Jim Mora took them to a bowl 2 years ago. But the headline said, Connecticut bowl eligible for the second time in 3 years. It's a big deal to be bowl eligible. So I like to bet against those teams.
Okay.
I think they have a letdown. Trent Dilfer heard for the 3 or 4 weeks after he lost to Tulane and they were 1-4, started hearing about they made the wrong hire. Maybe they should have hired Brian Vincent, who went to Louisiana Monroe, who beat UAB in the second week of the season. And his team started playing better. They picked it up. They played a much better game against South Florida. They took the week off, and then they destroyed Tulsa 59-21. Their starting quarterback, Jacob Zeno, was injured after the fourth week. He has not played. He could come back this week. But Jalen Kitna, the backup, he's thrown for over 800 yards in the last two games, both games they've covered. I like the way this UAB team's playing. I made Birmingham a one-point favorite. I'm taking 6.5.
Wow.
And not even factoring in that Connecticut won their sixth game. I hope they have that letdown. I think UAB could win by a touchdown.
I think there's a bunch of dream killers on the way in terms of losses from teams that are in the college football playoff or right on the edge. This is elimination time, and I'm not super confident that BYU can go into Utah and just rip them.
This is the holy war. These two teams hate each other. Utah has had the best of the series. They played 95 times in the series, and the average final score is Utah 24.1 to BYU 18.8. And we know BYU had some really high-scoring teams over the years, too, with some great quarterbacks, with Jim McMahon and Steve Young and a couple of other guys that could really put points on the board. But Utah has dominated the series in this game. At 4-4, the Utes must win. And I'll tell you the one thing. I know Kyle Whittingham, he recruits really quality kids. They are not going to quit on him. They are going to fight to get a bowl game. And right now, the biggest thing they can do is knock BYU out of that net, that bye spot in the college football playoffs. So you're going to get a great effort from Utah in this game. I made the Utes 3.5-point favorite. If they had Cam Rising, the look ahead line to this, Steve, this game in, yeah, in I think June, Utah was 21.5.
What?
Oh my God! So we're talking about a 25-point swing here. You're going to play against Minnesota on the road against Rutgers, huh?
I'm looking for another 6-win letdown from Minnesota, but I really don't even need that. I only made the game one. There's another factor I do like, a look ahead. Minnesota hosts Penn State next week. So I just got a feeling they're focused. We won our sixth game. They beat Illinois. This is a sandwich game. They're not going to be focused. With four straight losses now by the Scarlet Knights, they need a win badly. At 4-4, it's another team. I don't think they quit. I think they're going to play hard to get that win and get off that losing streak. So, yeah, I like Rutgers here plus the 6.
At K Whitey Sports up on – check that. At K Whitey Vegas up on Twitter, KennyWhiteSports.com. Some of the bigger name schools in college football, Florida gave a vote of confidence to their coach, Billy Napier. I don't know if that means the team's going to fight for him even harder. Big line here against Texas.
Yeah, and you know, they could be down to their third-string quarterback. Langway pulled a hamstring. I can't see how he could even be questionable. I think they're playing games, and I don't think he plays in this one. Tough spot no matter what. Texas is a far better team offensively and defensively. Napier's team has played much better the last 3 weeks. I don't have a play in the game. My number's right there. I thought Texas should be about 24. If Langway doesn't play, I can make it 27.
Talking to Kenny White on Sports Gambling. Big game this weekend also, Bama at LSU. What are you looking at there?
Yeah, this is what a great game this is going to be. These two don't like each other in the first place. One thing I did dig up, my daughter Alex asked me, Dad, can you run the numbers on the SEC games, when they just SEC versus SEC, how the underdogs have done? And I couldn't believe it. Away dogs are 16-4 against the spread. Away dogs. So just getting points is good. Wow. All underdogs are 29-13. So you got to lean to LSU for that factor. Maybe not just for that factor, but I made LSU a half-point favorite in the game. They're playing some good football. They've covered three of their last four. They're well-balanced offensively and defensively. And Jalen Milroe has really struggled since the Georgia game. In the last three games, Milroe has just 3 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. So he's lost some confidence. Not a good thing for this game. So I like LSU here.
How plucky, and it's a close line, but how good can Ole Miss, how dangerous can Ole Miss be here in an elimination spot for Lane Kiffin against Georgia?
Yeah, they're very dangerous. I'm making a case that I can't believe that BYU could get a first-round bye, but I guess that's how it works out. But, you know, if BYU loses this game this week, you know, we could be seeing a team with 3 losses playing in the getting a bye. A team with 3 losses from the Big 12 could be getting a bye. And Mississippi would be a 12-point favorite right now on a neutral against BYU. So there's a lot in this game. Georgia needs it, but Mississippi needs it more. And Mississippi's losses, all close games. When you look at, they lost by 3 to Kentucky, and they lost in overtime to LSU. So this is a very good football team. I thought at the beginning of the year, Lane Kiffin's actually got a team strong enough to win it all. I looked to bet them this week on Tuesday, and I think they were about 25-1. But if you do a rollover parlay, because you got to win this game, you take Mississippi on the points in this game and wait a couple of games later, you could actually get about 35-1 with Mississippi, because they're not going to get a bye. Just bet this game. Just bet this game against Georgia and then wait till they get in the playoff. They got to win 4 in a row. That's 4 straight wins they got to win plus this game. So that's about 35-1 odds.
Going to the NFL with Kenny White, Steelers and Commanders, unusual-looking number, you know, based on the way the organizations have been the last 10 years or so. I ask every week, are the Commanders for real? Good Steelers team here. What happens?
Yeah, they are for real. They're an above-average team. Their offense has been dynamic. But I think the Steelers, Russ Wilson's starting to shake off some of the rust. He's going to be better. Pittsburgh's defense is the real deal. And it's going to be a game of two different styles. Washington wants to go up and down, and Pittsburgh wants to run the football and shorten the game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, though. I think Pittsburgh has to answer when Jalen Daniels scores. And because it's in Washington, that gives that offense more boost. So I went over that total.
All week, Broncos have been kind of toggling between 9, 9.5. Now it's 7.5, only getting 7.5 against the Chiefs.
I haven't been as high as on the Broncos as most people are. Again, you got a rookie quarterback on the road against one of the best home teams in football. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes has not had the best of years. I couldn't believe going into last week's game, he only had 8 touchdown passes and 9 interceptions. But he threw 3 touchdowns. Now he's got a new toy now at wide receiver. So that's going to help. And I think this Kansas City team at home is dangerous. If I had to bet the game, I'm betting the Chiefs.
Sticking with the NFL, the Bucs have had a surprisingly good season. Niners, kind of a disappointing season so far, hit or miss. Niners at Bucs. What are you looking at there?
Yeah, disappointing for me. I thought that before the year started, the 49ers were the highest-rated team I've ever rated out to begin a season. They have so much talent on that roster, but injuries have cost them. Obviously, a guy like CMC is worth 2.5 points in the betting line to their power rating. So that's a big drop-off. They've had other injuries. Kittle's been banged up. Debo's been banged up. That's just an injury-laden team. But saying that, Tampa Bay is as well. They're down to their like wide receiver 3 and 4 starting now because of the injuries they have at wide receiver. I made the 49ers 7.5. I think they're a good teaser team this week. Play the 49ers and some teasers.
Talking to Kenny White, Eye on Sports Gambling. As an Eagles fan, this kind of makes me sad because whenever the Cowboys are out there starting quarterback, they seem to still hang with us somehow. Eagles are favored in this game. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, you know, they always do. You're right. These NFC East games are always just such big rivalry games. It doesn't matter who's on the field. They always play close games. It's just like last night's game, Baltimore and Cincinnati, that division.
Yeah.
They play close games. So, you know, I kind of think this could be a close one. I only made Philly 5.5. But that's actually, I got to make an adjustment on that. No, I think I did make the adjustment. I did take Dak out. I took him out on Monday. So even with my adjustment and Connor Rush at quarterback, I have the Eagles 5.5 in this football game. So I would lean to Dallas here plus 7.5.
Kenny, I'm going to have you scramble a little bit here in the last minute. Did you take a look at either one of the games in Nevada? Technically not Nevada, but the Packers taking on Boise State, 24-23.5 they're getting, and then I'm here covering UNLV and Hawaii's getting upwards of 13-13.5 against the Rebels.
Yeah, I can't wait to ask you on next week sometime how the wind affects play there in TC Ching Stadium, because it's wide open. It's a glorified high school field. I think Bishop Gorman's football field is nicer than the stadium you'll be at in that game. So the wind is supposed to be about 20 miles an hour most of the day. So you'll have to let me know how it affected plays. If it's end zones and end zone, it might help scoring out a little bit. I think UNLV, the wind won't bother them. They're going to double up the rushing yards. And I only made them 9.5, but that factor right there, doubling up your opponent's rushing yards, is a 70% spread cover. I like UNLV to cover this spread, maybe win by 3 touchdowns.
Kenny, we appreciate it. Keep it going with the podcast. Enjoy watching that, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great time in Hawaii. Go Rebels.
Bet the Gambit, the podcast. Yeah, we'll have to get into that, win factor, as Kanoa Leahy, one of the experts for Hawaii, is going to join us in less than 10 minutes.